This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, and I'm also the executive director of our nonprofit, the Human-Animal Connection. And I am so delighted to speak with Ronnie Ann Ryan. And she is an intuitive life coach, a wise woman for midlife women, helping them rise to their power, reconnect with their soul's wisdom, and bring their unique gifts and magic to life. So, Ronnie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jeannie. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, intuition is such an important subject for us animal lovers. We're always looking at how can we use our intuition? How can we refine our intuition? But give us a little definition from your point of view. What do you mean when you say intuition?
Oh, wow. Intuition as a definition. You know, when I look it up and go to like Webster's dictionary or whatever, basically it talks about information that is not logic and just kind of comes in as if it's inspiration. It's not from your regular, everyday, logical, conscious mind.
Okay, great.
From someplace else.
And you've experienced being able to talk to animals, to plants, to all of nature. We're going to go ahead and get into some of those stories. And how would you describe, let's say, your intuitive connection with nature? What would you describe that as?
Wow. You know, I think my intuitive connection is the same, regardless of the source I'm trying to link up with or the type of energy. I think it's really the same. And that is,
okay,
we are all made of energy, whether it's a rock or a cat or a tree, it's still, or a chair or a desk, everything is made of energy. Not that I've talked to many chairs or desks, I haven't had we tried, but, you know, it's all the same, it's all energy. So, and, you know, according to some people, everything that's energy is also a consciousness.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I look at it. Energy has a lot, feels a lot more filled with life to us. Nature meaning things that feel really alive. Like some people might not think of rocks as being alive, but
Right. Rocks
might tell you different. I don't know.
Rocks might tell you differently. Definitely. I lived in Hawaii for 25 years, and we absolutely think that the rocks will tell you differently. There's the tourists are told, when they get off the airplane, that don't remove the lava rocks, you know, and nobody listens. And then the post office gets these, you know, when people's lives go upended and they go, oh my God, I shouldn't have moved the rock. And they send it back to the post office. There was one kahuna in Hawaii who used to do that. She'd go periodically, go to the post office, pick up the rocks and listen to them and try to see if she could understand where they wanted to be replaced.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about talking to cats. I know you've talked to some cats who passed on. Tell us some of those stories and what you've learned about talking to cats who passed on.
All right. Well, I never took a class in talking to animals or doing past lives or talking to elements or any of the other things I did. I took intuition classes way, way, way back, but none of them were specific to these different things. So one time I was doing a reading for a friend of mine, and I was in her condo. And as I was doing the reading, in my mind's eye, I kept seeing a cat walking around. She did not have a cat. So I said, I don't know what's going on, but there's a cat walking around. And we talked about it. And she goes, oh, that was my cat who lived to be 21. That's a long life. And so I guess her cat was still hanging around and watching over her and that kind of thing. So that was really amazing. And then I did a reading another time for somebody else because I do intuitive readings, past life readings. I do coaching work with my intuition. So anyway, I was doing a reading for another woman and never anticipated getting into her cats. But then I guess one of her cats had passed away and she had had more than one. And so there was this conversation between this cat and the cat who had passed, and then one was going to be coming back and she was going to come back and another cat that she would go get and then she'd have her back again. I was like, what is happening? Because it's not, it's never been my focus. So it was really something different for me and kind of exciting. And I was just open to whatever the messages were that she needed. And I guess she needed to hear from her cat. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that's happened. It's just kind of magical when you're open to what needs to be heard or said or shared, then different things can come through.
Wonderful. And I know everybody receives messages a little differently. Some people will hear, some people will see, some people will feel, some people get the whole story all at once. What's it like for you to receive a message? Like, let's say for those cats, how did you,
So you're talking about all the different clairs, and I really use a lot of my clairs. Now, you know, there's clairvoyance is seeing, clairaudience is hearing, clairsentience is knowing. No, that's feeling. Claircognizant is knowing. And then there's some other ones for like smell and taste. And, you know, it's possible I've had a smell or taste once in a while where you have a memory. I had a situation with a pomegranate once, but that's another story. Anyway, when the cats, I saw them before I heard them. But I don't always see things first. And sometimes I just get a block of information, which is that sense of knowing. So it's always different. What's my favorite? I love a good vision. I was going to say, I love a good vision, you know, because it's really the, but I use, you know, I'm open to using whatever way the information wants to come through.
Yeah. Well, I really want to hear about your pomegranate story. Can you tell us?
So the first time, I had never had a pomegranate, and this was really a long time ago. Now you can get pomegranate juice, and at Trader Joe's, they have the little seeds in a cup, and you can buy a cup full of seeds for $5. But anyway, you know, in the old days, you had to buy the pomegranate.
Right.
And so I had never tried it, and I had a couple seeds, and I thought the flavor was amazing. And then I just started to, like, feel like my skin was crawling and got totally uncomfortable, and I'll call it creeped out. Like, I just didn't know what was happening. And I just was so kind of repulsed by those seeds. And I'm like, what is this about? But I looked into it from a past life standpoint. I was having a reaction to a life where I lived, where pomegranates had grown, and it wasn't a very happy life. So I was completely uncomfortable. So it doesn't bother me now. I can eat a pomegranate now and eat those seeds and it doesn't bother me. But the first time, I didn't touch it for probably 20 years after that.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that was just too bizarre.
Well, I know you do intuitive readings for people and connect with their souls, but would you say, like, in daily life, you're standing in the grocery store, and do you tend, like, somebody walks by you and all of a sudden you become aware of them or some issues, or do you have a clear separation? Like, when you're doing your consulting work, that's when you get intuitive information. How does it integrate into your daily life?
That is such a great question. I'm going to say it varies, but usually I have to turn it on. I have to be intentional, because if you're just an open empath, you're going to be bombarded by everything. And I still get some of that, but I really don't try to tune into anything just by happenstance. Now, on occasion, that does happen if the energy is really strong or if it's pertinent to me, maybe. But I really try not to tune into anybody or anything without intention. That's, you know, that's just how I look at things. So on a daily basis, if I'm trying to pick which grocery line to go in,
you know,
it's a good game to play, right? It's
good
to practice your intuition.
Yeah.
So, but that's where self-doubt comes in, because then you jump back to the first line and then you're really mad.
Brilliant.
So, but that's how I would, you know, I might use it, or I might ask myself, all right, what's the best way to take, like, if I have different choices in terms of how I'm going to get someplace, even just on the regular surface roads, am I saying, should I turn left or right? And then, so that's when I'm turning it on. But I don't just pick up things like the Long Island Medium, where you know, she's walking around and go, I have a message for you. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that wide open.
Yeah, that definitely good. That sounds very, very wise. Well, I know we have some listeners who are very interested in, you know, in their gardens. What can you tell us about talking to plants, like let's say in your garden, plants that are in your domain, your care?
Okay. Well, the first time this happened, I was very surprised. And so I had moved into a condo and I had outside stairs with a landing so I could put pots out and put some flowers in there. And so I bought dahlias, which I had never owned, and I had never had pots. And I mean, my father had a garden when I was growing up, but that, you know, there was some time in between. So anyway, I planted the dahlias, and while I'm planting them, I heard, you better put me in a big pot because I'm going to grow big. And I was like, what? You know, I was shocked. I'm like, the flowers are talking to me. So, then I moved into my house and I've had a garden for 25 years with my husband. And it's not like I walk in and they all start talking. I have to be, again, for me, I have to be intentional. Maybe some people are a lot more wide open, but I go in, I try to connect, I start with gratitude. And then, for example, one time I had looked in a Bach Flower Remedy book and something came up about honeysuckle. And I thought, oh, in my garden on the fence, all this honeysuckle grows. I'll go talk to the honeysuckle. So I asked if it had a message, and it did. I was very surprised. And it told me all about there are moments of joy everywhere. And if you pay attention, then you'll notice them and don't let them go by and that kind of thing. Another time, I had planted a bunch of green bean seeds, and the green beans were growing, the plant itself was growing like crazy, and it was loaded with flowers, but there were no green beans. I'm like, huh. So I thought, well, let me just try. So I meditated and tried to talk to the green beans. I'm like, what's happening? What do you need? What do you not have? What's going on? And it said they needed ashes. And I'm like, huh. So I went and looked it up on Google. I'm like, why would plants need ashes? And it said too much nitrogen, too much fertilizer. And my husband had fertilized that newly he must have put too much fertilizer in. So I did put the ashes in, and then we did get green beans.
Oh,
which was amazing. And then the next story was about basil. And so I love growing basil. I don't end up using it all. I grow things I don't necessarily use. I don't know what that's about, but I just like them. So I always buy the Trader Joe's basil plants. They're organic, and they grow in my yard. They'll grow to be bushes. Like, they'll be 3 feet
really
tall. They're ridiculously huge. And I find that exciting. But one year, all the new leaf growth was getting chowed on by bugs. And I'm like, and I don't want, even if it was a non-toxic thing, I don't want to spray that on the leaf I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to spray cabbages while they're growing because you rip off so many of the external leaves, but... So I was trying to talk to them, and I was worried about them, and I didn't know what to do, and they didn't say anything. And then I bought a third plant because I was like, I'm not taking any chances. And then what I started doing was picking off the little leaves that bugs had kind of destroyed. At the end of the season, the plants were crazy. Who could use that much basil? It was like so crazy. And then I heard them go, you had little faith in us, but we're fine. Look at how big we are. And they were very proud of themselves. And I'm like, you're right. I should have listened to you. We're fine. And so the next year, it happened again. And I thought, I'm not going to worry about you because you're going to be fine. And they were, huge all over again. I didn't run out and buy yet another plant. So that's kind of the way I've talked to the plants in my garden.
That's wonderful. And is your sense that like talking to the basil is different personality or energy from talking to the honeysuckle? Do you have a sense, or is there sort of like a plant energy that's sort of the same across all plants?
Wow. You're making me think, girl.
You know, she's going, I like to be in my right brain. Don't make me think.
I'm going to say they're probably not the same.
Okay.
But I can't articulate what the difference is.
Well, yeah.
Probably because I haven't had as much experience. I'm a generalist, so I talk to lots of different things. But there are people who talk to their plants all the time, and they would probably tell you, the basil's this way and the honeysuckle's this way. But I don't have that finesse to, go into the detail.
Yeah. Well, it's just a wonderful concept of not trying, even if you're planting and gardening, not to do it alone, you know, meaning without talking to them. You know, ask them if you're having, if they're not growing a certain way or they're doing something, it's like, is there something I could do that'd be better that would help you? And,
yeah.
And you know, that notion of partnership with nature, I think, you know, there are many cultures that, that's normal for them. And, you know, it's just us and our, you know, our civilization, you know, we've lost the ability to do that for the most part. Yeah. And it's wonderful to inspire people to, you know, this, like you say, it doesn't require anything special and fancy. You don't have to be a brilliant psychic or something.
Or a shaman.
It's just in an ordinary way to begin to tune in, to connect and to ask questions and then listen. And again, if you're wanting your plants to talk to you, the one thing you don't want to do is yell at them or, you know, be mad at them, or, you know, if you're in an emotional upset, they're probably not going to want to talk.
Right. Well, you know, it's surprising because I have gone into the garden when I'm upset because they have a lot of healing energy that they will share with you. So I don't go in and yell at my plants, but I can go in and be upset.
Exactly. That's different.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Tell them I need your help. Please give
sure.
me, you know, what healing or whatever. And that can be really, you know, nature is actually happy to work with you, to help you calm down or heal or return to balance. And yeah.
So that's an important thing, is that you can be in an emotion. It's just, you can't be necessarily mad at them if you want them to talk to you, but yeah, you can certainly be saying, please help. You know, I need some healing. I need some clarity. I need some understanding. Okay, great.
And good. That's why starting with gratitude is really good, because then you're honoring them by being grateful for them, and that would probably help them be open to talking.
Yeah.
More likely.
So gratitude opens the intuitive channel. That's something you could write down, because the more gratitude we have, the more we can hear and hear clearly.
Yeah. Well, and that's because gratitude is an expansive energy, and on the, I can't remember that guy's name, the Hertz frequency list of emotions, gratitude is higher than love. It's right underneath enlightenment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think enlightenment is considered 700 and gratitude is either 600 or 620. And love is like 5-something. Gratitude is really high up there. And so when you're in gratitude, then you're more expansive. And the minute you're more expansive, then you're more inclusive, because there's so much room for everything to work together or to penetrate and get into your energy field or whatever to reach out to you.
That's wonderful. Well, we're going to take a short little break, and when we come back, I want to hear, you have an unusual dog story about a dog that was barking and how you helped that situation. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye. And 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests. And they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph. and I'm the executive director of our nonprofit, The Human Animal Connection, and author of the book by the same name. And I'm speaking with Ronnie Ryan, and we were just about to hear a story about a dog that was barking. And tell us that story, Ronnie.
All right. So where I go to the beach, it's like a neighborhood walk-on. And it's a stretch of sand that's a narrow walkway between two cement walls that are probably, 4.5 feet tall. And, it's like a hallway in a way, but it goes to the beach. And so the beach in Connecticut is, anybody can go to the beach in Connecticut below the high water mark and sit there. So that's what this is for, because they're all beach houses and you don't want to sit on their yard, but you can sit below. So what happens is, I've been going to this beach forever, and for several years, there's a dog, a big dog, that can get its head and front paws over the top of that cement wall and barks its head off in not a nice way. It's not like a hello. It's like, this is my territory, and what are you doing here? And right. So I'm a little freaked out by big dogs, especially because I'm not very big. So you're going to go to the beach and you get I get freaked out when by this dog's barking. And then I go sit at the beach and then I get all calm and relaxed the beach is my heaven. And then on the way out, you have to get barked at all over again, kind of ruining my chill. So this was never one of my favorite things. I love the beach, but the entrance and exit was always a little stressful. And then one day, and this is not how my intuition usually works, because usually I have to turn it on or I ask. I don't really get just unsolicited messages where I'm just, but I did this time. And so I'm walking and I'm dreading the dog. And I heard, say, I love you. And I'm like, what? What? Who said that? What is that? But I didn't take a long time to think about it, because there was the dog and I just went, I love you.
Uh-huh.
And it was amazing, because first it did that cocking of the head where it kind of put it on an angle and looked at me like, what's this crazy woman saying? And then it just kept looking at me and it didn't bark again. And then I just kind of walked on thinking, all right, that was interesting. And then the next time I came to the beach, it barked at the person in front of me and it barked at the person behind me. But it did not bark at me. And then eventually, as the summer went on, it just stayed on the porch.
Yeah.
And so all I could think of was there must have been someone in the dog's family, maybe that was a woman, that would say, I love you, to the dog in that way. And because I think there was a man, so maybe it was her father who had the dog now. I don't really know why that was, but I can tell you the dog never barked at me again, which I got to say, a thrill, just a total thrill. So that was the craziest thing, but great advice. Whoever, slipped that into my head. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why not have it be a nice passing every time instead of having it be a stressful one? So there's so much to be gained by including our intuition into our daily lives. Like, again, even if you're not going to be some professional, reader for others, but just in terms of daily life. So what are some tips for people maybe who want to further develop or maybe initially develop their intuition to get them started on that path? What are some of the things that you teach?
Well, before I do that, I just want to say, I've tried that with other dogs.
Okay.
It did not work.
Yeah, so it was that dog specific.
Definitely that dog. Okay, moving on to tips. There are so many things you can do, and I am a big believer in doing little things to build your intuition, because people always want to start with the crisis. And once you're in crisis, you're not calm, you're not quiet, and it's really hard to get your intuition to work, especially if you're not even practiced. You also want to build confidence in your abilities. So I always say, start with the little stuff, like which grocery line, or should I go right or left, or guess which is the best route, and then check your GPS. Or, start guessing what time it is all day long and check to see how you're doing. And then whatever of these silly things, or what's the temperature outside, that kind of stuff. This littlest stuff where you have no stake.
Right.
There's no risk. And there's nothing to decide except for maybe right or left. But I've used that a lot where I look at traffic and I go, which way do I go? And I hear left and I go left. And then I notice the other road was blocked off and I would have been stuck there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the most important piece of all of this, beyond the practice, intentional practice, is to write it down. Now, people groan and they go, oh, I don't want to journal. Please don't make me journal. I'm like, no, I'm not asking you to journal. I'm asking you to bullet point. August 18th, I asked right or left. I went right and it worked out. You know, August 19th, I guess the temperature. I was 3 degrees off, or whatever you choose to practice on. Mm-hmm. Now, why do you need to write it down? There is no evidence any other way. You have no evidence of your success or of your growth or of your accuracy improving. And so when you write it down, even just little cryptic notes, then you have a record and you can go back and look and see your development, see how you're improving, see how accurate you were. And this is how you build confidence, by keeping track of your results. So I have notebooks filled with stuff now, but I have bookmarks on them in different places, because where my guide said this or my guide said that. And sometimes I like to go back and read that stuff, because it's still useful. It's still helpful. So that's my suggestion, is start with the little stuff. Don't put pressure on yourself.
Right. Don't try to decide which house to buy or which stock to invest in. You know, you want to really look at the ordinary, everything day things, that if you're wrong, it's like, oh, well. And if you're right, it's like, great. You know, it just, it has that kind of simplicity. And to just work, you know, you don't, this doesn't have to be into the thing you have to do. It's just like, you know, should I wear this pair of shoes or that pair of shoes, or this shirt or that shirt? No, should I wear blue today or red today? You know, it's just.
Exactly. That's a great one, too, using color. Color is an energy frequency. What color do I need today? Sometimes you just need to wear yellow.
You
need the cheerfulness. You need the intellectual capacity that comes with yellow and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But some days you need to calm down and wear blue.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a great one. Thank you.
Yeah. Good one. Good one. Well, I know we're just about out of time, but I want to hear your fire story, because I know you've had an intuitive conversation with fire. Tell us about that experience.
So this was so unusual for me, because I was at a friend's house who's also, you know, spiritual and intuitive. And we had a bonfire going, and it was a nice roaring fire. And she said, we should talk to the fire. I'm like, what? And I thought, well, okay, why not, right? So we talked to the fire. So she got a very eloquent message about something that was personal to her. But I got from the fire what the fire was representing. And I don't remember all of it, but it said, I am statements to me, which I found fascinating. I am transformative. I am purifying. I dance. I create. And so it listed a whole bunch of I am statements that all made sense. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. I had never talked to elements before. I know I had some interaction with water, because I love water, and I'd seen some water nymphs and stuff like that, but I had never talked to fire before. And, you know, I remember years ago people saying, oh, you have to practice and go through all of this, and it'll take 7 years before you could talk to the fire. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know who makes up these rules.
I don't know who made those. Forget those rules. If you've heard them or read them, let's forget them.
But, you know, I don't think any of the rules really apply anymore. My only rule would be, you don't pry. In other words, if you don't have permission to look into somebody else intuitively, I would encourage you not.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't be a peeping Tom.
Right. Or
a peeping Tilda.
Right. Because you wouldn't want somebody doing that to you.
Right. Yeah, it starts to disrespect the psychic boundaries to get information without permission. It's like HIPAA on a spiritual level. If you don't have permission, if you don't have permission, you shouldn't be doing it. But yeah, but the little simple things, you know, talking with the plants in your garden, or talking with the animals who share your life, or talking with the elements. And I think I live in Tucson, Arizona, and there was a storm yesterday that passed by. We missed it. We didn't get it. We could have really used it. You know, it was like you could see the whole neighborhood, whatever. But so I got to have a little talk with the rain.
Oh, you could do the rain dance.
Yeah.
Here you go. Well, I hope you don't mind if I mention this, but I have a podcast too.
Yeah, right.
It's called Breathe, Love, and Magic. And it's all about spiritual tools, basically. So it's very practical. And so I just wanted to mention in case anybody might want to try it out and listen.
Absolutely. So I've been speaking with Ronnie Ann Ryan, and she is an intuitive life coach, and she does private coaching, intuitive sessions, and past life readings, and energy clearing, all with compassion and humor. She's also the host of Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast, and that's one of the top 5% mystical podcasts and the best-selling author of 6 books. So how can people get a hold of you if they want to connect with you?
You can find me on my website, intuitiveedge.biz. Biz, B-I-Z, like a boy, B-I-Z.
Okay. B-I-Z?
B as in boy, I-Z.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Intuitiveedge.biz. Well,
yes.
Thank you, Ronnie. It's been delightful to have you on the show. And thank you for the fun work that you're doing out in the world and helping people connect with their intuition.
This was really fun. Thanks again.
Yeah. Bye for now. We'll see you on the next episode of the Human Animal Connection.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.